In the new movie comedy, Hamlet 2, Steve Coogan stars as a failed actor turned high school drama teacher whose theater program is threatened by budget cuts. To prove that high school theater is essential, he unleashes his pent-up creativity and writes a play he's confident will demonstrate the transformative power of theater. Here's a scene in which he hands a copy of his finished play to his wife, played by Catherine Keener.
It's done.
What is?
My original work that's going to say drama, the thing I've been working on for the last 47 billion hours.
Oh, is that what you were doing? I thought you were just having a nervous meltdown.
You're not far off, Lady Pence. Any creative person will tell you, you got to go a little crazy to make great art.
Hamlet 2?
The Deuce, correct.
Doesn't everybody die at the end of the first one?
I have a device.
The time machine door.
That's the device.
Opens, revealing Hamlet, Gertrude, Polonius, and Hillary Clinton having what appears to be group sex.
It's about my troubled relationship with my father.
But you're doing this at school with the kids, right?
That's the plan, Stan. What do you think?
A scene from Hamlet 2. My guests Pam Brady and Andrew Fleming wrote the film. Fleming also directed it. Pam Brady co-wrote many episodes of South Park, as well as the South Park movie musical and Team America. Fleming directed Dick, The Craft, and Nancy Drew. Before we talk, let's hear the big production number of the teacher's musical Hamlet 2. This is Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
He's totally the man with the plan. He traveled through time in an awesome custom van. Moralistically, he taught us to be good, how to set our souls free and do all the shit we should. Now we do the right deeds, we go to church and such, and we stop smoking weed, well, at least not as much. And we can't forget to mention the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them. Slam, bam, spank you, ma'am.
Do unto you.
Rock me, sexy Jesus. He died for our sins. You gotta believe us. Rock me, sexy Jesus.
Pam Brady, Andrew Fleming, welcome to Fresh Air. Just describe the premise of the musical Hamlet 2 from which Rock Me Sexy Jesus comes from.
It's conceived by an ex-failed actor who teaches drama in Tucson, Arizona, and it's his last attempt at greatness, and he's decided to write a musical sequel to Hamlet, and Hamlet uses a time machine to travel back in time to save his mother and the king and Polonius and everybody who dies at the end of Hamlet. But because he's not very good at operating the time machine, he ends up in modern day Tucson with Jesus Christ as his time traveling companion.
What do you love or what do you hate about musicals?
Well, the thing that I used to hate about musicals is that arbitrary moment where people just start singing. It always bothered me. Like, why do they start singing? And now I actually think that's the great thing of them, because it's sort of the id coming to life. It's people expressing what they can't express just by speaking. And I'd never done musical numbers before this movie, and I was slightly terrified, but it ended up being the most exhilarating, fun thing I've ever done in a movie. It really was a blast, I have to say.
And Pam, what about you? What do you love or hate about musicals?
Well, you know what? The thing I love and hate about musicals is the same thing, which is the earnestness. And sometimes it's too earnest so that it just sort of pushes you away so you can't really connect with it. But then sometimes if you're earnest, like in this form, we try to be earnest in the musical and in this movie, but you can kind of undercut it.
Now, your movie Hamlet 2 is set in Tucson, and once the drama teacher decides to like write and stage his creative masterpiece musical, he enlists the Tucson Gay Men's Chorus to sing. And you give them the really incongruous song to sing of Maniac from Flashdance. let's play a little of it, and then we'll talk about it.
Just a steel town girl on a Saturday night, looking for the fight of her life. In the real-time world, no one sees her at all. They all say she's crazy. Locking rhythms to the beat of her heart, changing moment into light. She has danced into the danger zone when the dancer becomes the dance. It can cut you like a knife if the gift becomes a fire. On the wire between will and what will be, she's a maniac, maniac on the floor. And she's dancing like she's never danced before. She's a maniac, maniac on the floor. And she's dancing like she's never danced before.
That's a version of Maniac from the new film Hamlet 2. The co-writers of the film, Pam Brady and Andrew Fleming, are my guests. Fleming also directed the film. So why did you want them to sing this song? Why, of all the songs that you could have given them, why this one?
It's a good song. The lyrics are really strange, but it's an enthusiastic song, and that was kind of the idea, that it was about, a tough girl from the wrong side of the tracks making good. And I don't know, who doesn't love the Flashdance soundtrack?
Especially when he plays it sadly, you know, after his wife leaves him, and he plays a sad version of Maniac on his personal Casio, and that always kind of reminded us of the Entertainment Tonight theme, when they do Entertainment Tonight after someone they do, you know, someone died. It's slower. It's like Entertainment Tonight, someone died. So that was an inspiration.
Were you in high school or college when Flashdance came out, and was it a big deal?
I was in college studying film, and I saw it and was horrified. But now I love it.
My guests are Pam Brady and Andrew Fleming. They co-wrote the new film Hamlet 2. Fleming also directed it. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests Pam Brady and Andrew Fleming wrote the new movie comedy Hamlet 2. Fleming also directed it. Now, your film Hamlet 2 is in part a satire of inspirational teacher movies, where a teacher in an inner city school filled with gang members kind of inspires them to turn their lives around. And why did you want to satirize that kind of inspirational movie?
Well, I just think over time that form has become very cynical. And we didn't want to do something that we are not very cynical. And I think that the movie sort of has sort of a sweetness to it, because especially with Dangerous Minds, the idea that Michelle Pfeiffer is a Marine and she's going to jack a young gang banger up against a locker so he can get his head on straight. I just think it's such a condescending idea.
And we didn't really want to satirize those movies. We wanted to kind of make one of those movies, but one where the teacher thinks he's living one of those movies, that he is inspirational, but in truth, he's just kind of an idiot.
Oh, yeah, and he says all these pontificating things about how the theater has the power to transform the actor and the audience. And, of course, it does have that power, but his theater does not.
Yeah, we always like this guy because he has the form down. He has the manner down, but he just has no content.
But I think, in the end, that his play actually does transform everybody involved, that it's a really pretentious thing for him to say up front, but then he in fact achieves that goal.
When you were writing Hamlet 2, did you make a point of going to musicals or renting musicals for inspiration? And if so, what did you see?
Actually, the first drafts of the script, the play was just kind of a series of images, and you never really saw the play. You saw people's reactions to it. And it had music, but it didn't have musical numbers. And it wasn't until just a few months before we started shooting that we decided to turn it into a full-on musical, much to the producer's horror and chagrin. But I think we both felt that if we didn't see more of the play, it was going to be a cheat. So we made more of it than was there on the page.
But also one of the big inspirations, too, is that we went to see the Madonna live tour. And I forget what tour it was. It was the tour, but she was on a like a cowboy saddle, but also a stripper pole. And it was just spectacle. And she had images behind her on this giant screen that was like Condoleezza Rice, Hitler, you know, Darfur.
Yeah.
And it just thought it was so wonderfully irresponsible just to not to throw those images out and not put it into context.
And she crucified herself on a cross made out of video screens.
Did she really?
We just loved the irresponsibility of
yeah.
it.
So you took inspiration from that?
Oh, in a big way.
She is an inspiration.
Steve Coogan is very funny in Hamlet, too, and he's good at the verbal humor and the physical comedy. Can either of you point to a scene where he so surprised you with his choices and the way he brought your writing to life?
There's one scene where he does this monologue. He's found out that the drama department has been shut down, and he kind of goes on a rant in front of the class about his childhood and his failed career as an actor and about just his general frustration. And it's really funny, but he's also weeping uncontrollably through it, so it's sad. And I just remember when we were shooting that, I was just thinking, that's amazing. I've never seen something like that before. And he did it over and over and over. He really is amazing.
Well, Pam Brady, Andrew Fleming, thanks so much to both of you for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Pam Brady and Andrew Fleming wrote the movie Hamlet 2. Fleming also directed it. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tui Westman, Sam Brigger, Jonathan Menhivar, and John Sheehan. I'm Terry Gross.